From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We're going to go right to our phone callers. First up, Maureen in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for your ministry. I really enjoy listening to it.
Thank you.
I also wanted you to know, I like how you put your words together in phrases. Like, for instance, the Bible is easy enough to understand that a child, you know, can understand, say, you know, honor thy father and mother, to the Bible is so deep that a scholar can, I think you said, drown in it.
It is inexhaustible, yes.
Yeah, I like you. Your communication with people, it's just phenomenal. I wish there was more people that were able to communicate and do it with such respect and dignity like you do. And I like that. I came across a Bible. In the Bible, it's Ezekiel. I came across, I think, like chapter 13. And I was just wondering, the other thing I like before I get to my question is I like how you always make sure that any secondary issues is just that. And it's never about dividing over or, you know, walking up and going away from the church, nothing like that. So I want to make that clear, because I really like how you phrase your words and you do it with such respect. So this has nothing to do with like secondary issues, but I came across Ezekiel chapter 13, and it's about, I can't remember the title of it, but you would know. I'm wondering, is it relevant to today's, like, so to speak, cast of characters at the pulpit today? You know, I know Ezekiel was a major prophet. I don't believe there's prophets today, but I'm just wondering, is there still any relevance to that chapter for today's world?
Well, I think you're right in saying that we do not have prophets today in the same sense that we have the biblical prophets. The Bible is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and then the apostles and the prophets. Christ, of course, is the cornerstone. Today, we do not have prophets that can foretell the future. We know that the Bible is authentic in part because of the testimony of the prophets and apostles and their unique role in human history. So there are today pretend prophets, and just as there are pretend prophets today, Ezekiel is identifying the pretend prophets of yesteryear. So he's pointing out prophets who prophesy out of their own imaginations, or prophets who are like jackals. In other words, they're scavengers. They're those who are preying on people. Their visions are false, he says. Their divinations are a lie. And the Lord has not sent them. And yet, they are saying that their words are going to be fulfilled. And that's why the Lord says he is against the false prophets with their lying visions and their lying divinations. And this is not unique to Ezekiel. This is the same kind of message that Jeremiah was giving. In Jeremiah, there's an epic showdown between the prophet Jeremiah and Hananiah. Hananiah is telling the people exactly what their itching ears want to hear, and Jeremiah is pointing out that these prophets are simply deceiving the people with false visions. They're saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. And so there is certainly a corollary between the false prophets in biblical times and the false prophets today, who are predicting when Jesus Christ is going to appear again, or giving false prophecies with respect to what's going to happen in a person's life. And in that context are making merchandise out of God's people. And of course, Paul says this in the New Testament. He says to Timothy, even from among your own numbers, people will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears.
Okay. Well, thank you. I don't know much about that book, Ezekiel. I did read up on Jeremiah. And yeah, I think he was. That was the story where he was in Jerusalem, I believe, what you were referring to.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, in fact, they were in the temple court, and Hananiah was telling the people that those who had already been exiled would come back from Babylon, and that God was going to break the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar, and that the temple vessels that had been pillaged would be brought back. And Jeremiah was saying, no, none of this is true. You haven't heard from the Lord. You're making this up. You're telling people what they want to hear. And after Hananiah had broken the wooden yoke from around Jeremiah's neck, in evidence that his prophecy was true, Jeremiah said, no, no, it's not true. In place of that wooden yoke, God's going to put an iron yoke around your neck. And then he prophesied even the death of Hananiah. And in that, you can tell a true prophet, because a true prophet is always one whose words come to pass. And as they come to pass, they always point you to the true God. The false prophet does precisely the opposite.
Wow. That's great. Well, thanks. Thanks for answering my question, and God bless your ministry.
Thanks, Maureen. Thank you for your kind words. Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk next to Tyler, Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Tyler.
Hi, Hank. I'm calling from Salt Lake City, and you know we're famous for Mormons out here. I left the Mormon church about 4 years ago. And the problem that I've got is that Mormons really seem to disregard the significance of the cross altogether, and they focus 100% on the Garden of Gethsemane when it comes to the suffering of Christ and his sacrifice. So the only real argument that I've been able to present to them is that all of the types and shadows from the Old Testament point to the cross and the significance of the cross. And nothing points to the garden. So scripture-wise, is that the best thing that I can do?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you're landing in a proper category, but what's really important, I think, is the systemic problem. And the systemic problem is, who do you say that I am? The Mormon has an inadequate view of who Jesus Christ is, in fact, a false view of Jesus Christ, and therefore Christ's sacrifice on the cross could never atone for our sins, because Jesus Christ is not the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence in their view, but he is a spirit child of Father and Mother God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll focus on that then. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it, and I have put together Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage as a flip chart. I also have a little booklet available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute on Mormonism. That booklet is called The Mormon Mirage as well, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism. You can see these resources on the web at equip.org. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Stacy in Laverne, Tennessee. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I have a question. I have a 14-year-old grandson. We were watching him last night because my daughter was in school, and he was laying on the floor. He was playing, and he was staring at the ceiling like somebody was there, and he was waving, smiling, saying hi. He did it over and over again. I was just wondering if you think it's possible. My grandfather has been in the hospital. He just got released from the hospital yesterday, and his wife has passed away, and we were wondering if maybe it was the grandmother that he had possibly saw, and if you thought that was a possibility.
Well, no. Ghosts are the stuff of superstition. You know, and unfortunately, that kind of superstition is the stock and trade of modern culture. There is no biblical precedent whatsoever for the notion that those who have departed can return to the land of the living as ghosts. You're either absent from the body, present with the Lord, or you are in torment, separated from his loving presence. So ghosts exist only in mythology. But of course, demons are all too happy to feed upon unbiblical delusions. And that's why I think that it's really important that we test ideas like ghosts in light of Scripture, hold fast to the good. No biblical precedent for ghosts or for poltergeists, noisy ghosts.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for answering my question.
You got it. And I also answered this question in a little more detail. In my book, Afterlife, there's a question, what about ghosts? Because those who are not bound to Scripture are bound to sink in superstition. Even the disciples, by the way, when they saw Jesus walking towards them on the sea, momentarily submerged themselves in superstition. And just as Lazarus was not permitted to return to the land of the living, so the Scriptures make clear that the dead do not inhabit this realm. The very notion is detestable to the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Again, written about this in my book, Afterlife, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org or talk to one of our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000. And the letter C or I will be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence.
Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Reginald next, listening in Ohio. Hi, Reginald.
Yes, hi. My question is, what would be your interpretation of where it reads in the Bible that in the last days, men will become lovers of themselves? Would that be referring to the sinful act of masturbation?
No, not at all. I think what's important to recognize in context is that the last days have to do with not only the time in which we live, but the time in which the apostle is writing, which is to say that all of the Bible was written for us, but none of it was written to us. Paul is writing the letter to Timothy in a particular epoch of time, and that is the first century. And he says not only that there'll be terrible times in the last days, but also that people will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money and boastful and proud and abusive and disobedient to their parents and ungrateful and unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. So he is communicating the human condition. And that human condition is true in the first century, the second century, the 20th century, and the 21st century. In other words, in all centuries, it is true. And the only ultimate antidote is what happens when Christ comes and redeems a person, because as Paul says, such were some of you. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Leslie, Fair Play, Missouri. Hi.
Hi, thank you for answering my call, and I'm finally glad I got through.
It's nice to have you on the air.
First of all, I do want to say I really enjoy your show, and I do appreciate all the things you do. You're really great at providing wisdom and understanding and explanations. Thank you for that.
You got it. My privilege.
Thank you. And I just wanted to ask, quick question. I think it's in Matthew. I'm not sure of the chapter, or it's been a little bit since I've read that particular verse, but it states in there that if a man should call, or, you know, speaking of humans, call their brother a fool, they will surely go to hell. And I was, is that literal, or, I mean, is it, you know, just kind of like a what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but is it basically just kind of a verse that's descriptive of something but not really meaning that?
Well, here's what's going on. There is a double entendre, if you will, here, because what Jesus is saying is that anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now, what Jesus is doing is giving a Sermon on the Mount, and that Sermon on the Mount is intended to communicate something, which is that in order to be able to go to heaven, we have to be 100% perfect. And that excludes every one of us. And this is why, in the end, he has people shaking their heads and saying, if all of that is true, who then can be saved? And the enigmatic response is, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible, which is to say, Jesus is pointing to himself as the only one who can fulfill the holy and righteous requirements of God. So Jesus alone lived the perfect life. And unless we embrace his righteousness, we have no hope. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law are trying to keep the letter of the law. And Jesus is pointing his finger at that and showing the utter absurdity, because they are not keeping the law in its nth degree. He's taking the law and taking it to its logical conclusion and showing them that you think you can keep the law? You think you can be righteous as enough? Absolutely you cannot, because you can't be perfect, and that's the standard. And so what this becomes is a schoolmaster, as it were, that drives us to the foot of the cross, such that we recognize that our only hope is not our own filthy robes of self-righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
I see. Okay. Okay. So in other words, really taking literally, however, you don't want to push it.
Well, what he's doing is he is actually pushing the law to its logical extent. Because they say, you know, we're keeping the law of Moses. We're doing everything that's necessary. We're just fine, thank you. And Jesus is saying, well, let me just show you how far off you really are. So he takes the law to its limit so people realize, wow, if that's true, who then can be saved? Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tim, San Jose, California. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Hank. What I have to ask is probably sounds ridiculous to you, but it's become a concern to me, you know. That's getting to bother me more and more. Night after night, I've been having a lot of persisting dreams. I don't know what that means, but they're consistent, night after night. And they're all pretty much in the same kind of category. And these dreams symbolize me walking through strange cities, strange streets, people that I seem to know, but are totally somebody I probably don't even know, strange situations, like I'm homeless, you know. And I don't know if that symbolizes possibly God's warning me that I'm in danger of missing the rapture if I don't get my act together, or it could be something from the devil. I don't know. I'm kind of...
Well, I mean, I think what you're reading into the dreams underscores a systemic issue, and that is, I think rather than trying to interpret the dream, I think we're far better served to learn how to properly interpret the Word of God. Dreams are notoriously difficult to interpret, and I would not want to put myself in the place of being able to rightly interpret a dream. Daniel, as a unique messenger of God, who was given a unique role in human history, was given that ability by God. But I don't think you and I have that ability. What we do have the ability to do is to read the Bible for all it's worth, and to recognize that when you read the Bible for all it's worth, you recognize immediately that God, in His sovereign love and mercy, does not flood the light down the path that we're going to walk in the future. Instead, He gives us enough light to step into a little more light. So I don't think that God is showing you the future any more than He's showing me the future. What He's doing is giving us light to take one more step. And His grace is always sufficient. If you knew what was going to happen 5 years from now or 10 years from now, you probably wouldn't be able to face it. Same true with me. So God gives us the grace that we need when we need it, and oftentimes not a moment before. So simply be content to live in the promises of God, to learn how to read the Word of God, and trust that God has every single fiber on your body in His loving care. There's not a hair that falls from your head that He doesn't care about it. So live and learn in the love of God.
Well, it makes sense. I just wanted to add one last thing. Would you say it makes perfectly good sense? Some of the dreams I've had, my mother, who's long been deceased, and I've been, like I was, I've been with her in strange towns and strange places. Now, like you said, you know, maybe I shouldn't be concerned about all these and just stay in the Word. That makes good sense to me. But the only reason I brought it up in the first place is because it's been starting to get to me quite a bit, you know, and... if it didn't, I wouldn't call you up, believe me.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be cavalier about your concerns, but what I'm trying to point you to is the comfort. Where can I go from your spirit? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I go to the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and I fly to the far reaches of the universe, even there your love will guide me and your hand will hold me fast. So we have the assurance in Psalms like Psalm 139 that there's no place that you can go where God's love is not sufficient for you. And what I'm counseling you to do is simply rest in that love and recognize that dreams, and I have some unusual dreams. Sometimes I know I'm dreaming and sometimes I don't. It depends on whether I wake up in a REM sleep or if I wake up in a deep sleep or if I wake up from a light sleep. If I wake up from a REM sleep, I usually can remember what I was dreaming about. But the dreams are incongruent, and I don't find any basis by which we can rightly determine all of the intricacies of why we're dreaming what we're dreaming. But what we can do is rest in the love of God, knowing that He has every detail of our lives, not only in control, but in the loving hands by which He carries us through the deepest and darkest circumstances of our lives. We are out of time for this broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.